to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad taste, the broken, ain't a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad attitude, bad taste, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Farrell Appalachian, right across the river through the woods from where Granny loves a little London City diesel before bedtime in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion show, get up, should do bit. All my friends that come around, fuss a party up, rats on the west side, dead bugs uptown, with the best is tied to of my brains. Splattered all over Manhattan, should do be sure I got who. Oh, woo, woo, I think I might have caught something from Keith. Should do be. Yeah, yeah. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell with your boy Mafia tonight. And I just turned on after I heard my boy Jay Berman talking about it, the Texas Bowl with Kansas State and LSU. What a lobotomy this is. Why? Can you explain to me, Mafia, why this game is happening? Like, you know, after the bowl season, after the holidays, after Christmas, after New Year's, after everything, in between the semifinal on Friday, New Year's Eve, and the championship game next Monday, they put this crappy game on television where LSU is playing a bunch of fraternity kids in like disguised in LSU uniforms against Kansas State. What could be worse than this game?
Probably nothing, and I don't know why they do it. I mean, they think that, hey, well, you know, we had to extend the national championship out a week, so we'll give them another game to hold them over. But does anybody ever watch this game? Does anybody ever care about this game if you're not, you know, an alma mater from one of these schools? I don't think anyone ever watches it. Once you hit those playoffs, once you're in the New Year's Day games, the people are like, all right, it's NFL and, you know, basketball until we get into the actual title game. No one cares about this game ever, no matter who's in it.
So they let you know, Brian Kelly's in the booth right now talking about all the things he's going to do at LSU. And they let Ed Orgeron go early after they named Kelly the coach. I thought Orgeron was coaching the rest of the season and this bowl game. And then Kelly was taking over. Apparently not. But I said today that if he would have coached, you would have been able to find out how bad of a coach he really is. Because I've never bought into him ever as a head coach. In fact, when they won the national championship, I was still on the side of the river that said he won it because of talent, Burrow, Chase, et cetera, loaded team, 15, 18 NFL players on that team, and it had nothing to do with him. Sure enough, they all went to the NFL, and he couldn't coach his way out of a wet paper bag, and they got rid of him, and they brought in Brian Kelly because, well, I've always believed they cheat, and they'll do whatever it takes to win a national championship, and they'll do whatever it takes to win down in Baton Rouge, I'm here to tell you. And now they got Brian Kelly down there. I think it's going to be strange for me because I actually believed, and here's another touchdown for Kansas State. I actually believed that, frankly, that Brian Kelly was relatively clean at South Bend at Notre Dame, you know, dealing with all those priests and the Catholic tradition at Notre Dame, that he was relatively clean for the most part. My guess is that, you know, there were some shenanigans going on, you know, in recruiting or whatever. But I think that at LSU, he's just going to go hog wild. I think the last years of his career will be spent in Baton Rouge, fully engaged in doing whatever it takes to win, including cheating. And I mean that completely, utterly, unequivocally. Welcome all of our radio affiliates to Pharrell on the Bench. So Kansas State will go up 21-0, and I'm turning the channel because I refuse to watch this crap, is what it boils down to. I was under the impression all night long, that I was going to be watching the, and I am, the Kings and Lakers. Oh, no, it's at 10:30, bottom of the hour. I will be forced, Mafia, forced to go back to the Texas Bowl. I have no idea why I would do that, but I'm going to, I guess, suffer through it for 20 more minutes. I'd rather watch the Kings and Lakers than this game, that's for sure. Dan Rosen will join us this hour to talk NHL. And next hour, we'll have Coach Young on to talk NBA. We had him on Coast to Coast today. We were watching a game kind of together at the same time, simultaneously tonight, the Knicks game and the Grizzlies game. The Grizzlies did beat the Cavs 110-106. They were getting three. I told you on Coast to Coast today on Sports Grid TV that they would win outright, even though they were playing the second game of a back-to-back. And they beat the Nets last night in No Sleep Till Brooklyn, and they went to Cleveland on a plane, barely got any sleep, got up, shoot around, boom, went, beat them tonight at the Q, and got it done, Jai at 26. The one game that I'm stunned about right now is the Pelicans giving the Suns nightmares in New Orleans. It's a two-point game. That's just crazy. 103-101 Suns. They were a big in that game, too. It's Pharrell on the Bench.
May or may not be a good Sports Grid listener.
Test yourself.
If you've ever gotten rabies from trying to get a fresh rabbit's foot, you may not be a good Sports Grid listener. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
But this guy, John Morant, 31 and a half points a game, 5-0 since Christmas, and shooting 55% from the floor. And they got it done again tonight. This guy's a freak. He had 26. And I got to tell you, you know, Cleveland's a tough team. The way Allen and Love and, you know, this team's playing, they play their ass off. They lost Rubio to the season-ending knee injury. But, you know, I think Evan Mobley's a badass. And they're exciting. They're another team that plays hard. They're physical. They block shots. They can knock down threes. They move the ball well. They got Markkanen shooting outside. Everybody's getting involved. But they still lost to the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies mean business, dude. They just go out every night and kick ass and take names. It really is unbelievable. It was 62-61 with 7 minutes left in the third. And then with, under 45 seconds left, it was 73s. And then they had Grizzlies had a three-point lead with about 3:50 left. Ja hit a runner on the elbow, made it a four-point lead. And then here comes Allen with a stuff on the baseline with a minute left. It's a two-point game. And then Cleveland had it Mobley with a little bunny, ties it at 104s with 36 seconds left. It was just a sick game. And then you get Ja from Bane. He goes glass kiss, levitates in the air, gets fouled, makes the kiss off the glass over Mobley's outstretched arms. Unbelievable. And then it was 106-104. Ja Morant got a huge steal with about 25 seconds left, goes down, rolls it in, kiss, left hand, 108-104. They win it 110-106. Morant, 26, 5, and 6 dimes. Jared Jackson had 22. Bane was off tonight, had 11. Garland had 27. Allen, 22. And 12, the double-double. Love the double-double, 18 and 10. Mobley, 17 and 8. I mean, that's a tough Cleveland team they beat tonight, I'll tell you that much. But this guy, Morant, 26, 5 boards, 6 dimes, 2 steals, 2 blocks, 8 of 9 from the free throw line. He is a freak for the Pharrell. And he's got a fresh do. He's rocking some purple and teal in his hair. He's got it all going on, your boy, Ja Morant. I'll tell you another guy tonight, and we'll talk about it later, this guy Sykes that played for the Pacers tonight. The guy's played all over the world, played all over the globe, played in Europe, played everywhere, Far East, you name it. He's played there, Down Under, China, played everywhere. And the guy was playing in Fort Wayne on the G League, and he got called up by the Pacers, and then he went out tonight and actually, you know, I mean, the guy had the game of his life. I know that he had like 22, 24 points. The guy was unreal, and I mean, I just can't even imagine watching him tonight. The guy hit like 5 or 6 threes. He played his ass off. He had it all going on tonight, this guy Sykes. And he's all of about 5'6". He looked like Muggsy Bogues out there playing. The guy was just getting involved. And now, how about the Suns? It was a two-point game. Remember I said it was a two-point game? Now it's a 114-103 lead, Phoenix. Spreading the jelly late in the game with 3 minutes to go. I might still get that cover, Moff. I was only laying 7. That's nothing. They're up 114-103 right now. I can live with that. Give me that. So the Raptors beat the Spurs 129-104. That game was in Toronto. Jakob Poeltl had 19 for the Spurs. On the other side, 33 for Freddie Van Fleet. He went off. He had 7 three-pointers. Siakam had 18 and 12, the double-double. Ananobi had 14. Gary Trent Jr., 21, hit 3 threes. On the bench, Achiuwe had 10. And then your boy, I mean, they got a couple guys on the bench that had double figures in that game tonight for Toronto as they blow out the Spurs 129-104. I won't waste your time. They're 500 now, the Raptors. And Suns now 117-106. I just want to see who's going off in this one. 15 dimes for a CP3 in this game right now. And D-Book has 33 points and 3 threes. So they got everybody going. Biombo at 16 off the bench. Smith, 12 playing. Johnson, 17, including 5 three-pointers. That guy hits three-pointers every night. Miles Bridges, 23. Paul's got 11 and 15 dimes with 5 rebounds. That's crazy. Pelicans, 28 from Graham, 23 from Valanciunas, Ingram, 16, 122-106 now. It looks like, with a minute and a half left, it's lights out for the Pelicans in New Orleans. They were in the game at 103-101 and then got their ass pasted. I was actually watching a good hockey game tonight between the Devils and Bruins in Boston. And really, I think Pasta had a point, maybe an assist on one of their last two goals. And they won it 5-3 over the Devils. But Severson broke out of the box in a penalty and scored on a breakaway to make it 3-3. They had tied the game three times. You know, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2, 3-2, 3-3. Tied it up for a third time and then lose 5-3. It was a really good game. And one of the things I had going for me tonight, you know, in terms of betting was I bet on the Bruins, cover, Panthers, 6-2 over the Flames, cover, Lightning, 7-2 over the Jackets, cover. I lost the Sharks bet. They got their ass beat in Detroit, 6-2. And I got the Ducks going, the Knights going, the Jets going, and the Avs going. Going to the third, the Avs are up 2-1 in Chicago. Jets are up 1-0 in the second in Phoenix. The Predators and Knights are scoreless in Vegas in the first, and the Ducks are up 1-0 in the first over the Flyers. So, Mafia, right now, I mean, there's potential. There is potential for the possibility of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and 1 night. There is potential. I mean, that could evolve. We'll see if it comes to fruition, but it's going to be a good night either way. Dan Rosen will join us to talk about the NHL and the season and everything that's going on in hockey, of course, coming up here in a couple minutes. We'll have him on at 10:25 East, and I haven't talked hockey with him in a while. That'll be cool. And then I said later in the second hour, Coach Young will come on to talk about the NBA again tonight. And we'll kind of preview Wednesday's games. And then we'll do those games, obviously, tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Sports Grid TV. So, you know, we're going to talk a little pucks here, little hoops later. We got it all going on here. I'm trying to avoid the crappy Texas Bowl. I have no interest in that at all. But Kansas State is kicking LSU's ass. LSU is a joke right now. I don't even know what that is out on the football team that I'm watching. That's not real. That's a fake team. It's Pharrell on the Bench. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Bench looking for a 7-1 night in the NHL tonight. Rolling it, baby. The only game I got wrong was San Jose. I went with the Sharks in Detroit, and Detroit kicked their ass. Dan Rosen is back on the bench from NHL.com. Happy New Year, buddy. Hope you're well.
And we're good. Happy New Year to you, too.
Hey, so, you know, last night on the show, one of the things that we mentioned, and Mafia didn't believe us today on the TV show, Coast to Coast, was that we spent a great deal of time talking about the Rangers and their win over the Oilers in the only game last night, and the fact that when it was all said and done, they had the best record in the NHL. Today, Mafia was crying that we didn't talk about the Rangers. All we wanted to talk about was other teams. And then what I wanted to say tonight, to throw it back in his face, is that they're 24-1 favorites to win the Stanley Cup now, the New York Rangers. What do you think of this hockey team, Dan?
They're good, man. They're a good hockey team. I will say it. You know what I mean? They are a good hockey team, and I think that they have taken on an underdog mentality of us against the world, because I still think that a lot of people are getting surprised by them. And maybe you shouldn't be so surprised by them anymore. They're a good team. Their players, their top players are playing. And, you know, you don't win without your top players being your best players. And their top players have been their best players. The goaltending has been fantastic. Adam Fox, having yet another Norris Trophy type of season. Jacob Trouba is just crushing guys left and right. I mean, he has been an excellent, excellent defenseman for them this season. They're good. They still need, you know, if they're coming down and we're getting closer to trade deadline, I'd be saying, and I still think they're going to need it, a little bit more scoring punch in their top six, because they do have a hole there. They don't want to move Alexis Lafreniere from the left to the right. So you got a hole on the right side there in your top six. I think you need to go out and get a versatile, established right wing. But to be honest with you, I mean, this is a good team. They're a playoff team, and they're a team that if they keep playing the way they're playing with the identity they're forming and the way that they've really bought into what Gerard Gallant wants, how he wants them to play, they're a team that could do some damage in the playoffs.
You know, they have 12 road wins, and there's only a couple teams like Carolina and the Flames that have 13 on the streets. And I always gauge, for me anyway, that, you know, I understand the significance of the early part of the season, and some people ignore it completely. They're like, that doesn't matter. Hockey starts January 1st. And, you know, some people, they may be right. But I know this much. I've always believed that in some form or semblance of form, the teams that can win on the road stand out to me. Like, really good teams win on the road. Mm-hmm. I don't care who they are, because really, if you look at the standings, you look at teams, you look at their records, you look at their evaluation of who they are. If you stink on the road, you stink as a team. And then if you win on the road, you stand out like a sore thumb. And there's a big significant drop off from like 13 wins, Carolina, Calgary, and then the Rangers at 12. From everybody else, you got a ton of teams that are 8 and 9, 10. But really, you know, you get into anything past 10 road wins, they're hard to find. And that's what the difference is. The Rangers, we already know they're good at home at the world's most famous. But it's the fact that they can win anywhere that impresses me.
Yeah, and they've played a lot of road games, too, so they've had to win them to be in the way they are in the standings right now. They've played, I think, 19 or 20 road games, and they got 12 wins on them. And, you know, and they've gotten a couple of extra loser points as well in that mix, too. They're scoring goals on the road. They don't have a drop-off in their game. They play a very similar game on the road as they do at home, which is exactly really what you want to see. You don't want to see – you always hear, like, well, we played a good road game. And you want to be able to do that, but you really want to be consistent. And they are consistent right now. They play that game. You know, look, yeah, I know it was at home, but they did go before beating Tampa 4-0 at home. They did beat them in the shootout on the road, right? So you're winning that game. You come home, you throttle Tampa 4-0, right? You come back the next day, and again, this doesn't go to the road argument. They're at home, but they're a 4-0 win. They beat Tampa 4-0. That's a signature win. What are you going to do when Edmonton rolls in slumping? Are you going to let Edmonton come off the mat? No, they did not let Edmonton off the mat. They beat them 4-1. So these are signs, right? These are signs, teams that win on the road, teams that don't get complacent, teams that play the same way wherever they play, and teams that don't take their foot off the gas. And the Rangers haven't been doing that. And I think, you know, like I said before, I think they're a legit team. I think they deserve a lot of credit. And they have top five goaltending in the world right now. Igor Shesterkin's that good. And he's legit, and they are too.
So the Lightning, you know, caught them tonight by winning on the road. And now they have 49 points. And Florida won tonight at home. They got 48 points. And Washington does as well. But here's the Rangers with 48. Carolina's right there with 47. The Penguins have 41. The Penguins with a 9-point lead over the Flyers for that last spot in the Metro. But I wanted to ask you about Tampa Bay. They win again tonight. And, you know, it is amazing to me that everyone's talked about, you know, frankly, you know, everybody, you know, the defections, everybody left. and that they weren't going to repeat as Stanley Cup champs again. You know, they win the night in Columbus 7-2. Impressive. Boom. But for me, you know, you talk about all the guys that left, but Stamkos is healthy and kicking ass and taking names. Hedman's still Hedman. Killorn is producing as usual. Palat, same thing. Point has been out nonstop. He's missed, you know, 14 games or something, and he's way behind everybody else in games played. Sorelli's, you know, he's playing well. Perry's playing well. They still have, you know, McDonough, Maroon on that team. Now, everybody else, you can't even say their names because you don't know them. But isn't that enough what I just rattled off in terms of star players that know how to win the Stanley Cup, that have won back-to-back Stanley Cups, that it's not surprising to you, Dan, that this is still one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous team in the NHL?
No, it's not surprising at all. We talked about, like you said, the last couple of years, who they've lost. And last year, they had a big loss. I mean, they lost four of their bottom six forwards. Four of their six bottom six forwards. When you factor in Blake Coleman, Yanni Gourde, Barclay Gaudreau, and Tyler Johnson, it's a huge, huge loss. But they still had the top six. And that's the thing. The core was still intact. What they have done is they built around the core every year. But the core is the best core in hockey, and you're going to win. When you got Stamkos and Hedman and Palat and Point and Killorn and Sergachev and McDonough and the best goalie in the world, and by the way, I didn't mention one player because he's only played in three games this year, Nikita Kucherov. You know, when you got all those guys, you got a shot. You're going to win. You're going to be a very good team every single season. And the rest of the guys there fall in line. Corey Perry comes in. What's he doing? Oh, he's got 18 points. He's got 9 goals, right? He falls right in line. Pat Maroon comes in last year, falls right in line. Matthew Joseph comes up, gets an opportunity. You better fall in line, son. And he did, you know, and he has. Taylor Radish has done it this year. Ross Colton. I could keep going on. All of these guys, they don't want to come in and disrupt what's going on. You think Corey Perry's going to come in from outside after losing to the Lightning back-to-back years in the Stanley Cup Final and say, I'm the man, I'm a former Hart Trophy winner? No. I'm coming in as a role player. I'm going to play my role. I'm going to find my spot on this team, and I'm going to help us win because that's what I have to do. If I do my job, I'm going to help us win. And I honestly, I think, Scott, I think a lot of this goes back to coaching. It's why John Cooper is one of the best, if not the best, in the business right now. We always talk about teams that make the jump, right? They take a huge step, and that coach has done a terrific job. Dallas Eakins this season, Bruce Boudreaux taking over the Vancouver Canucks. We don't talk often enough about the coach who has the really good team, who consistently puts out a really good team every year and finds ways to mix and match all of the depth guys to match up with the core. That's what John Cooper does every year. It's a marvelous coaching job. It's every single season that he has and he's been there. It's hard to stay on top this long, and they are. I mean, they you go back to 2015 that they've been on top of this league.
I think that and we'll do this in the next segment. I want to get into more teams. But I think the guy that stands out to me, and you know I'm a complete homer for the Penguins, but I think Mike Sullivan is that guy. What he's done with the Penguins season in, season out, you start the season with no Crosby, no Malkin, and what they've done I think is crazy. I went to see him play in Pittsburgh, I think on December 17th or something like that. It was a Friday night. And I went to see him play, and, I thought it was fantastic seeing Crosby out there and them doing their thing. But he was the one that I was impressed with, what he's done with this team and the players that he's actually rolling out there and playing against. And what he's done is crazy. You talk about Boudreaux, you talk about all these guys. I think Cooper, for me, Cooper and Sullivan, frankly, are the two best in the NHL right now. When we come back, we're going to go across the state to Sunrise and see what Dan Rosen thinks of the Panthers. They got a lot of guys producing, scoring goals, and they're still hanging in there, hanging tough and mattering in the NHL. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench with Scott Pharrell.
talking to Dan Rosen of NHL.com about hockey. I had to get it in. I love the NHL. If you don't like it, have a sandwich. You know what I mean? Like just with mayonnaise on it or something. By the way, Chop tonight fried me up a couple of double hamburgers, Mafia. And I mean, they were just homemade toasted rolls loaded with spicy mustard and just two gigantic thick burgers. And nothing else. No lettuce, tomato, onion, nothing. Just two gigantic burgers and a toasted bun with tons of spicy mustard. And she made sea salt fries. Rocking it out. I was just absolutely gorging on big, fat burger sandwiches. As you know, I'm a big fan. Dan Huberdeau, Duclair, a stunner with 13 goals. Barkov, still doing his thing, 12 goals. Little Bennett with 11 goals. Everyone on the team. I mean, it's literally, there's not maybe, what do they got, two guys on the whole team that are a minus? I think the Panthers are still involved in being considered one of the most dangerous teams in the league.
Well, without question. And I think what you were just pointing out there is right. It's you're hinting at their balance and their depth. Their scoring depth is terrific. They got 12 guys with 15 or more points this season, which is a lot. I mean, where does that rank with other teams? I couldn't tell you, but it's a lot. And they got 10 guys who have seven or more goals this season. So they're getting it from up and down the lineup. This is a team that's played well without Barkov in the lineup. No, you know, I mean, he goes out, no problem. And he's one of the best players in the world we're talking about. So I like them a lot. And I think they sent a little message tonight. You know, you got Calgary that comes into their building. And it's like, all right, Calgary's a good team, a Western team, but we know that they're a good team and everything. And what happens? I mean, it was an onslaught. I mean, Florida just rolled them 6-2. You know, it was a little bit of a message being sent there, especially after Calgary went up 2-1. I was watching the game and I'm like, Calgary barely got the puck back after going up 2-1. This was a little bit of a message being sent to the rest of the league that Calgary is considered a pretty good team out west, but Florida has to be considered one of the top teams in the league, in my opinion. And it's really remarkable. You look at that division right now, and the divide in that you look in the East, the divide between the top four in each division and the bottom four in each division, well, top five, I guess you can count with Detroit, who's winning again tonight, is pretty significant. So, I mean, the playoffs are shaping themselves out. It's nine teams, really, that we're looking at for eight spots in there, and Florida is definitely one of those top teams. They're right up there. They got the same amount of points now as the Rangers in Washington, one behind Tampa.
Yeah, they're no joke. I want to mention to you, DeBrincat scored twice within a minute for Chicago. They were down 2-0 in that game. Tave scored, then DeBrincat on the power play twice. Two power plays in a row. Kane and assisted on both goals. And the Blackhawks are stunning the Avalanche right now in Chicago 3-2. I didn't see that coming. Are you a buyer or seller in the Avalanche, who many at the beginning of the season, they were the heavy favorites to win the Stanley Cup? The problem is, I won't say that they never win the Stanley Cup, because you and I know that's not true. They do win Stanley Cups in Colorado, and they have, but it's been a while, and the last two or three years, they've been favored to do it, basically, and they haven't even sniffed it.
Yeah. They haven't gotten out of the second round. It's been a problem for them because they've been one of the best teams in the league that they just haven't been able to get out of the second round. I'm a buyer. I'm a believer. I picked them to win the cup this year. I like them a lot. The only thing, the one concern I have with them is Darcy Kuemper good enough? Is he the guy? I think he's a quality goaltender, but is he the guy to win in a pressure spot in the playoffs? Or do you need to go out and something and to beef up that area, and is that guy Marc-Andre Fleury, who they're playing against tonight? You know, I mean, just another guy that won before, who you could put your faith in if you had to. That's the one question I have for them, because you well know, Scott, you can't win without elite goaltending. You can't win the Stanley Cup without elite goaltending. I'm not sold that Colorado has the guy that can be an elite goalie in the playoffs, and that's the concern I have. But I do, Joe Sakic to me is the general manager that if I was another general manager and I see that number, I see Joe Sakic's number come up on my caller ID, I'm not picking it up because he's going to fleece me if I do.
So, I mean, do you think legitimately that he could get the flower there?
Yeah, I don't see why not. I mean, Marc-Andre Fleury is in Chicago right now, and every team still believes right now, right? I mean, they're still early enough in the season that every team still believes. But we're talking about a significant, I mean, you're talking about double digits in points that they're going to have to make up just to climb into the top four in that division. And I don't see it, and I think a rebuild coming in Chicago, I do. I wonder about the future of Taves and Kane there with 1 year left on their deals. I'm not saying they're getting moved. I'm not saying they're getting moved this season, but I do wonder. But Marc-Andre Fleury's he's in the last year of a deal. I think they can try to get something for him. There's need for a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury out there, and I don't see the need in Chicago for a goalie like Marc-Andre Fleury. I think they have to move him. It makes the most sense. I don't think he's going to want to re-sign there, especially if it's a rebuild. Colorado, it doesn't guarantee him to be the starter there, but I think it puts him in a spot where he knows he has a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And I think that would be very intriguing to Marc-Andre Fleury to have another shot at it.
So if they, here's the example. Like, the Penguins, in my view, should have traded Malkin like a year or two ago, and they could have got something for him. Then he has his wheels fall off, has surgery, hasn't played, and now you couldn't get anything for him, not even a bag of donuts. Is now the time to trade for Patty Kane or Jonathan Taves, because now you could actually get something for both of them, whereas if they play out the next year with those deals they have, I don't believe you can get basically anything for him after another year in Chicago. I really don't.
Yeah, it's interesting, actually. I heard Ryan Callahan tonight, actually, talking about this, their future, Taves and Kane. And, if you're the Blackhawks, these guys have done a lot for your team. You go to them, and this is what he was saying, and I think you're right. Like, what do you want? Do you want to continue here and be a part of this? Because if you do, maybe you look to re-sign and whatnot. Certainly Kane, right? Certainly Patrick Kane, because he's still an elite player in this league, I think. But if they want something better, if they want to have another run, I think you have to grant that. I think you have to do what you can because of everything they've done for your franchise. You got to do what you can to do it. And to be honest, if you're looking at it, yeah. I mean, this would be the year to do it because you're trading Kane in particular to a team that wouldn't just be using him as a rental. He's a year plus. Like, you're getting him for the rest of this season and next season. So you're getting more value in return for that player than you were if you were to trade him next year or in the offseason when you're only getting one. You're getting two runs out of Patty Kane as opposed to one, essentially. And for the Blackhawks, if you want to rebuild, they have no first-round pick this year and one second-round pick this year. Come on, let's go. Beef up your draft, beef up your prospect base, and go for it that way. But the question also remains, is Kyle Davidson the guy that you want making that move? He's the interim general manager right now. They don't have a front office in place that's going to be the decision makers for a rebuild right now. I'm not saying Kyle Davidson can't be the GM, but he's not going to be the only guy making this decision. So you got to put the pieces in place in the front office, I think, before you even put the plan in motion to rebuild. And we're not seeing any movement on that front right now, at least not publicly.
Well, I think it's because of what happened with Beach and what happened with the franchise and all the executives getting tossed out of there. I think it ruined them. And then I think that it makes it hard, like you said, to trade Kane and Taves right now. And what I believe is they'll stick with them like the Penguins did Malkin. And I think they'll, in the end, regret it. And I think that you're right about Fleury. I think there's potential for that. That would be something that I would be investigating if I were them and getting into. Let me ask you about one other team, at least before we get out of here, the Vegas Knights. Now, here's a team that has teased their fan base like no other, making it to the Stanley Cup Finals, losing to the Capitals, going back, getting screwed in the series against the Sharks by the refs, and that's all there is to it. And now here they are in first place again, and I think people believe they're the this vaunted team. Whereas, I got to tell you, Dan, they got like four guys on the whole team that can score a goal. I mean, honestly, like, they have, you know, Marchessault. I'll give you Pacioretty. I guess Stevenson, Smitty, you know, fair enough. Dandanoff, okay, whatever. They have, but everybody else, you're lucky. Like, what has happened to Stone? They don't have, you know, obviously Stone's missed a bunch of games, and so is Pacioretty. And I mean, do they have enough guys that can put it in the net to actually matter and go on a run?
Yeah, they do. And they're going to get a pretty big one, you know, into their lineup at some point here in February or early March in Jack Eichel. So I do think that they do. Now, how are they going to fit Jack Eichel into the equation? Because that's going to be the question, because I think they're going to have to move somebody to get him in. And that guy could be Riley Smith, who has been a real good player for them. You know, and that, I think, you know, he's in the last year of his deal. He'd be the one I'd be looking to, you know, move, but I like Riley Smith too. I do like Vegas. I do think that they do have enough. I understand where you're going with this. A couple of things with Vegas. I think that there's enough depth scoring there, especially when you add a Jack Eichel into the mix, a guy that they have not had. They have not had a center. They've never had a center like Jack Eichel. They've never had somebody on their power play like Jack Eichel. I think he makes a huge difference for them. I like his game that much, you know, even though he hasn't played in what seems like forever. The other thing is they're big. They're physical, right? I mean, this is a big hockey team, and that's what wins a lot of times in the playoffs too. They're going to be able to take it to a team, especially coming in that, you know, in that Pacific division. So I think they can get out of that. Now you'll get into a little bit more of a meat grinder, whoever they face in the Central, be it St. Louis, Nashville, Minnesota, or Colorado. But I think they're good enough. But I have the same question with Colorado, you know, with Vegas as I do with Colorado. Is Robin Lehner the elite goalie that you need to win a Stanley Cup? I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, the Kings are right up the Oilers took us for that last playoff spot. I'm going on Denny Bernstein's podcast on Saturday, getting ready for the Penguins to go out to play LA next week. And we're going to talk about the Kings at some level and how they're in this thing for sure as well. That's going to be a great race down to the end. Dan, killer stuff tonight. Like, I mean, I got goosebumps talking hockey with you. It's been so long since I've had a great hockey conversation like that. Fantastic stuff, brother. So happy to have you on. Happy New Year. All the best. We'll be in touch throughout the rest of the season and the playoffs. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, brother. Love you.
You got it. Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dan Rosen, NHL.com with us. All right, I got the Kings and Lakers going tonight, Mafia. As you know, I bet on the Kings today, getting that, I think, 6.5 spot or something like that. I think it was a 6.5 spot, a 7.5 spot I got. They're up 7 right now. 5 left in the first at crypto.com. No longer the staple center to anyone in Lipstick City. We'll keep an eye on that. Later in hour 2, Coach Young will come on to talk NBA rack of everything that happened tonight, and preview Wednesday's betting activity around the association. It's Pharrell on a Bench. That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose.
Nothing for you.
How about that? One last indignity.
So the Avalanche tied up the Blackhawks in Chicago. There's at 11:44 of the third, made it 3-3. Johnson's goal from Burakovsky and Kadri. That tied it up at 3. So under 5 to go in Chicago. A really good one. Jets lead the Coyotes 2-0. Predators and Knights scoreless after a period in Vegas. And the Ducks lead the Flyers 2-1 after one in Anaheim on the pond. In that one, you got Terry twice for the Ducks. Atkinson on the board late at the end of the first with about a minute 20 left for the Flyers. 2-1 Ducks there. And everything else is in. Red Wings 6-2 over the Sharks. I did want to say Suter, Bertuzzi, big Tyler Bertuzzi, big games Both had a couple of goals. A shorty on the same penalty, and you get just a huge effort. Larkin with a goal and assist. Dylan Larkin. Big Detroit 6-2 win over the Sharks. Both teams one game over 500 on the season. I think the Red Wings have had a really surprising season, that's for sure. As far as the NBA goes, that Suns final, they covered 123-110, so I had the Suns to win and cover the 7, double cover there, hit the Raptors to win, didn't hit the Spurs spread, so 3-1, 5-1 after the Grizzlies win and getting 3, and Knicks win and laying 1.5, 7-1 NBA bets tonight, and it's all documented from coast to coast this afternoon. You get the best plays right here on Sports Grid. It's Pharrell on a bench.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Save big now during Menards Super Savings Sale. Brighten your home with a 3-panel LED light bulb. Now just $1.99. Stay warm with a hardwood firewood bundle. Only $3.99. Stock up with Clorox All-Purpose Cleaner. Just $2.99. A 16-pack of Zest Bar Soap is only $7.99. Hurry, these great deals won't last long. Sign up for Menards emails to get the weekly flyer plus exclusive daily flash sales right to your inbox.
Save big.